Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Something's happening to me. My friends say I'm acting peculiarly.
Welcome back. It's 17 till the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. The one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Dave Anderson is our guest. He's the author of If You Don't Make Waves, You'll Drown. And there's a PC book in here. I think I've somebody. What was the PC book, Dave?
Actually, you know, the subtitle of Waves is 10 Hard Charging Strategies for Leading in Politically Correct.
There it is. There it is. Yeah. Yes. I knew that I was thinking there was one that had it was in the title, but it is. It's in the subtitle. That's the reason why that's my favorite book.
I thought things were bad in 2005.
Oh, boy.
When I wrote the book, and I need to revise the book. That's the book. That's the first book I ever got hate mail from. You know. But it also got me in my beach house, so sometimes things work out.
Congratulations.
That's right.
That makes me proud of you even more.
That's right. You know you're doing something right.
When you stick your finger in the eye of the political correct police, you've made a major accomplishment you deserve to be recognized for. All right, let's talk about these. You got these four types of people who are influencing others in ways, not necessarily good ways. Some good, some not so good.
And you know, I talk about the four types in my seminars.
Undertakers, playmakers.
You got undertakers, you got caretakers who just kind of maintain. Undertakers actually bring your business under. They don't live your values.
Right.
Or they may be a great performer, but they're cutting corners. They're disloyal. They're having the meeting after the meeting to talk about how stupid what you just talked about was. They're undertakers.
Right.
They will take you under. Mm-hmm. Or they could be people who don't even do baseline work. The caretaker does baseline work, okay? They're steady, dependable. They're not going to initiate. They're not going to go the second mile.
But every organization needs people like that.
You know, there are places where they're helpful, but not in leadership positions.
No. Or not if they're foundational, aren't they? You don't want them moving the margins. They're foundational.
Yeah, dotting the I's, crossing the T's.
Yeah,
there are
yeah.
positions that can add value. I always caution people, you don't want a caretaker in a leadership position because leaders are supposed to be initiating and growing people and growing themselves.
And caretakers are risk averse.
They're very risk averse.
And leaders have to be comfortable with risk
and
failure.
They got to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You just have to be comfortable with that. Then you got the playmaker. You know, they've got a little different mindset. They've got bigger goals. They've got stronger drive. There are things they want to accomplish and prove. So they're going to, you know, the playmaker can carry you to a great month from time to time, but they're not going to carry you to the great year. They're not consistent enough. We've all seen that type of person. This month they're up, this month they're down. And they lack that relentless intensity, the consistency to bring it every day. And that's what the game changer does. But, you know, Jim, that's not the natural mindset. You have to develop a game changer mindset. You're not born with it. And in order to do that, you got to think a certain way. So here's something funny I ask in my classes. I say, would you all agree that whether it's in sports or business, that your mindset influences the ability to win more than skills, knowledge, or talent? Because you can have skills, knowledge, and talent, but without mindset to activate it, you know it's not going to work well.
And
everybody says,
oh,
yeah, that's right. Everybody says, oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the mindset's the key. Then I ask them this question. Based on that, how much time do you intentionally spend every day working on your mindset? And then you get the deer caught in the headlights look because everyone just admitted how important it is, and they realize their mindset is shaped by the National Enquirer and their fantasy football league and Survivor, and they know the cast of Dancing with the Stars.
Or making some kind of statement about the national anthem.
Oh, well, that's right. And then getting hung up on that and going and telling everybody at work about it. And they realize they're not doing anything, not even 10 minutes a day, to review their goals, to review their why, to read something inspirational, you know, to listen to something positive on the way to work instead of something that's going to hijack your passion and your attention. And they see huge opportunity that, listen, I've got all this experience. I've got all this opportunity and all this talent. I got to have the right mindset to activate it every day more consistently. I bring it occasionally. I'm not bringing it every day. And I think so many successful business people are successful, but they miss their potential by a mile because they're not locked in every single day.
You know, one of the greatest exercises that I ever was taught was called self-analysis, and the process of self-analysis, and how to do that after every call.
Nice.
Have to do a self-analysis after every sales call, and be, you know, as Polonius said to Falstaff, "This is above all, to thine own self be true." You got to tell yourself the truth. And what I found out, though, what they didn't tell me, what I discovered was every post-call self-analysis is a pre-call self-analysis.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
So what I went through to determine if I did a good job or didn't do a good job in the call I just left sets me up for the next one.
Absolutely.
So it's that you get a double advantage.
Well, that's the right way to look at it, Jim. You know, one of the things I talk about in this program is having a different philosophy towards things like failure. Okay, the game changer says, I don't have failures, I have feedback. Okay, and because of feedback...
You discover what doesn't work, right?
That's right, because of feedback, I'm going to be better next time. And if you stop worrying about failure, you'll try more things, you'll take more risks. And if you stop seeing it as defeat, and you start seeing it as, hey, I just got some feedback, this post-analysis, and now I can do better the next time, you're going to get after it the next time.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about how you look at competition. You know, we all have competition. And the caretaker, they're worried about measuring up. That's how they go into the day. Gosh, I hope I don't look bad, okay?
Right.
That's whether you're in sports or business. The playmaker goes in and says, I'm going to study the competition, and I'm going to counter them.
Hold on to that thought, Dave. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Dave if a caretaker or an undertaker or a playmaker, if they can become game changers. Can they train themselves? Can they learn how to do that? And if they can, how does that happen? And we're going to change some folks here after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.